Good morning.
Good morning.
Quick reminder, after service today, we are going to do a church meeting, kind of give you the state of the church, state of the union type. We'll let you know what God's been doing in our communion. What?
Also, I said, no one's here.
If you want to head out after service, you're more than welcome. But we did want to provide an opportunity to let you know how the church is doing and what God is doing.
I got nowhere to go.
You're stuck. Gosh.
Your arm's out of the sun.
This past week has been somewhat challenging. I feel like there's been a lot going on, a lot happening in our community, in our personal lives, friends' lives, world. I'm very thankful that we are approaching the study of Daniel and then the study of Revelation now, because I feel like it's really important for us to do, for everyone to understand. I don't mean to be a downer, but I'm excited. I think God is purposefully putting it here now for a reason. We're starting to see things. It can be so sad to see friends, family, and what we see through social media, TV, news, choosing flesh, choosing the world. And it kind of seems like we're past that point of return. Like we're not coming back from this. I feel like it just keeps getting worse. But instead of making that such a downer statement, we should be excited. As Christians, it's exciting because it's like, oh my goodness. We're going to see prophecy fulfilled. We're so close. It could be fulfilled tomorrow. So it's super important for us to be in our word and understanding what God is writing, because it is an exciting time. While it may seem super depressing, if we let these things make us sad, we got to flip it around and know, look, God's in control of all of it. God is allowing all of these things to happen for a reason. There's a purpose. It's part of his plan. And we get to see potentially prophecy fulfilled. And it's exciting. It's, while it's sad that we're seeing people impacted by it, it's also an opportunity for us to recognize, okay, we got to find those lost sheep, because now's the time. So today we're going to talk a little bit about the war that is happening. We're seeing the effects of the war in the world through current events. But there's a war happening that we don't see. And that's what we're going to talk a little bit about today, is that war. There's actually a series of books that was published back in the 80s. I mentioned these
books.
Yeah, so Frank Peretti was a super popular author. I don't know if he's still writing books. But in the 80s, he wrote a series of books, This Present Darkness and Piercing the Darkness. I know you guys have heard of them, but they are fictional stories. But it's a fictional take on spiritual warfare, and it's a struggle of how demons are trying to control people and angels are regaining control and protecting people and fighting on behalf of God's will. They're really good books. They're fictional, but they're really good books. And actually the title comes from a Bible verse. It comes from Ephesians 6:12, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." We've actually reached in our study of Daniel that the last section. So chapters 10, 11, and 12 are one big interaction that Daniel has. And it's the final culmination of the visions, everything that he's written in his book, and it's really neat. This last part kind of is a super lead into our Revelation study, which will be coming next. So it's one interaction. It's super important. We're going to see how important as we get into this chapter, but this morning we're actually going to start by reading all of chapter 10. It's a smaller chapter. But we'll get through, we're going to start and we'll just read through the whole thing. And then
10 or 11?
10.
Chapter 10. We finished chapter 9 last week. We're off because, remember, I had to break chapter 9 into two parts.
Oh, yeah.
So we're off. We're in chapter 10.
Read
freebie table shrink?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, sorry.
No, all right.
That's short.
Starting at verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a word was revealed to Daniel, who was named Belteshazzar. And the word was true, and it was a great conflict. And he understood the word and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 weeks. I ate no delicacies, no meat or wine entered my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all for the full 3 weeks. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a man clothed in linen with a belt of fine gold from Upaz around his waist. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and the sound of his words like the sound of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision. But a great trembling fell upon them, and they fled to hide themselves. So I was left alone and saw this great vision, and no strength was left in me. My radiant appearance was fearfully changed, and I retained no strength. Then I heard the sound of his words, and as I heard the sound of his words, I fell on my face in a deep sleep with my face to the ground. And behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly loved, understand the words that I speak to you, and stand upright, for now I have been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. For I was left there with the kings of Persia and came to make you understand what is to happen to your people in the latter days. For the vision is for days yet to come. When he had spoken to me, according to these words, I turned my face toward the ground and was mute. And behold, one in the likeness of the children of man touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke. I said to him who stood before me, O my Lord, my reason of the vision pains have come upon me, and I retain no strength. How can my Lord's servant talk with my Lord? For now, no strength remains in me, and no breath is left in me. Again, one having the appearance of a man touched me and strengthened me. And he said, O man greatly loved, fear not, peace be with you. Be strong and of good courage. And as he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Then he said, Do you know why I have come to you? But now I will return to fight against the prince of Persia. And when I go out, behold, the prince of Greece will come. And I will tell you what is inscribed in the book of truth. There is none who contends by my side against these except Michael, your prince. Okay, so that's quite an experience that Daniel just had. Before we move on, we really need to discuss what is happening in this passage. Daniel always opens his chapters with a time marker. So he'll say, he's said in the first year of King Darius the Mede, and third year of King Nebuchadnezzar. So there's always a time marker. In this case, he says the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, which on our calendar would have been somewhere around 538 BC. It probably differs according to the Hebrew calendar. So this is just what I was able to find through, like, Britannica when I was doing my research. Daniel says he's in mourning. And he says he's been in mourning for 3 weeks prior to the date when he finds himself standing next to the Tigris River. So 3 weeks prior to the 24th day of the first month is when Daniel started mourning. Nisan is what the Jewish people call the first month, and it's the month of April. The significance of this month is from the 15th day to the 22nd day of Nisan is when the Passover is celebrated. So while those that Daniel is writing to the Hebrew people of the time, and so they'll surely understand why he's in mourning. For us, being so far after, we're kind of like, well, why? He doesn't say why he's in mourning. Well, it's implied because of the timing that he assigns. So he assigns that it's Nisan. He's expecting the readers, the Hebrew readers, to recognize, oh, it's Passover. Well, where is Daniel? Right, he's in Persia, Babylon. He's still in exile. They've not reached that 70 years. And if you'll remember some time ago when we studied Jewish feasts, what do the Jews have to, where do they have to go for Passover? They have to go to Jerusalem because they're supposed to be at the temple. Passover occurs in their city. Well, their city's in ruins. So that's why Daniel is mourning. It's Passover time once again, and we don't have the holy city. So Daniel cannot perform Passover as it was intended, the tradition, to be in the holy city. What I thought was kind of fascinating is it says for 3 weeks. So for 21 days, he's in mourning, and he tells us he's on the bank of the Tigris River on the 24th. So doing some quick math, when does Daniel start mourning? He starts on the third day of the first month. Daniel starts mourning on the third day. Do you know what the significance of the third day is in the Bible?
Resurrection.
It's the day God creates new life. Most notably is the resurrection, but actually in Genesis chapter 1, verses 11 to 13, it says, "And God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind, on the earth. And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which was their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day." God created new life on the third day in the form of vegetation. It was after he separated the waters from the land. And then in 1 Corinthians 15:3, it says, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried and he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures." So maybe it was intentional by Daniel, or more than likely it was orchestrated by God, as everything is. But Daniel's fast begins on the third day, and he fasts, or he's in mourning for 3 weeks. And then he finds himself on the banks of the Tigris River. Here's what he sees. He sees a man clothed in linen, not one like a man. Note, Daniel actually says a man. He sees a man, and he's clothed in linen. He has a belt of gold, fine gold from Upaz around his waist. The gold, the region in which, in this area where gold is produced, that's mentioned here, Upaz, is also mentioned in the book of Jeremiah as a gold-producing region. Historians don't exactly know where that is, but they are assuming that it's this place called Ophir, which is in India. And I think India is a very large producer of gold. So that's where they believe this Upaz region is. Then Daniel says that his body was like beryl, which I didn't know what that was. And this picture doesn't do it justice. This is beryl. So it's a variety of different gemstones. And it's not solid. Like, they're like glowy and see-through. Like, so he says his body is like beryl. I don't know what color. It didn't say. But the picture that I had on there before really doesn't do justice to what how Daniel's describing them. And I'm wondering, it made me think of when Jesus was on the Mount for Transfiguration, like how his body became. And I'm wondering if it was something like this. Yeah, it could have been. And we know that we're going to read on that he is glowing the way Daniel describes him. So it's possible if you shine light through these, Like, what does that look like? But that's what his body was like, was beryl. And it's all of these different kinds of gemstones. His face was the appearance of lightning. So there's that light that could be shining through the body. His eyes like flaming torches. His arms and legs like burnished bronze, which would be very shiny. And the sound of his words were like the sound of a multitude. So very strong, loud. You're not going to miss when he speaks. Then what we learn next is really fascinating to me. So Daniel says he's the only one who sees this. He's the only one who sees the man. But there are other people with him. And everyone else that is with him gets a sense of trembling and they run and hide. Another way to put it is they get this feeling of dread so strong that they cannot stay where they are. They want to go and cover themselves, hide, because they don't know what's happening. Why do you think that is? We have to jump all the way to the end of the New Testament to get an indication of why that is. So we're actually going to jump to Revelation. Chapter 1, we're going to read verses 9 through 17. I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus and to Smyrna and to Pergamum and to Thyatira and to Sardis and to Philadelphia and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the lampstands is one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe, with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white, like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace. And his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand, he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. So though there are many notable differences in John's writing and how he describes what the man he saw, I'm thinking, based on Daniel's writing and John's writing, they're seeing the same man. Further in verse 17 of Revelation 1, we find out who he is. It says, fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. That man is Jesus in all of his glory. So now we understand why those men couldn't stay there. Because when Jesus was a man, what did he give up? He gave up his Godhead. What can God not be in the presence of? So both Daniel and John fell. John says fell like he was dead. Remember, John was in the flesh, and so was Daniel. They almost had all of the life sucked out of them when this man came into their presence. Jesus, in his pre-incarnate state with Daniel and his reincarnate state with John, is God. Now, God the Father, had they been in front of God the Father, they likely would have died. Because you cannot be in the full presence of God's glory in your flesh state, because our flesh is sinful. It was sin. It was sin that drove the men. It was sin that caused the dread and what caused them to run and hide. It's crazy how strong that flesh pull must be, right? It's a daily battle to think that that's how heavy it felt on them, and they didn't even see the man, but they felt his presence. They felt that heaviness. And when he speaks, Daniel said it knocked him out. The strength, the loudness, the heaviness of his voice, John says he had a two-edged sword coming out of his mouth. Like, his tongue was like a two-edged sword. Like, when he speaks, it will impact you. His words will have a physical impact on your body. Daniel says in verse 9, "Then I heard the sound of his words, and I fell on my face in a deep sleep with my face to the ground." His glory, his power, his majesty is too much for us. In this body, we cannot handle it. And like I said, if that had been God in the river, Daniel probably would be dead. And probably all those other men too. Do you remember when Adam and Eve ate the apple? That's right. That's not one easy to forget. So it was the one time that when God approached them in the garden, he made noise. Do you remember that in the story? God made noise. Why? Because they had eaten the apple. They now were sin in their flesh. God couldn't approach them. He needed them to run and hide. So he made noise. So they knew, uh-oh, God's coming. We're in trouble. Let's go hide. The rest of that interaction happens with them hidden. Because they can't be in God's presence anymore. God saved them from that.
What do you think he said? Like, what the heck, dude?
He asked, "Where are you?"
Oh, that's not as fun.
So he spoke, the rest of the interaction happened with them hidden from God. And then obviously we know he kicked them out of the garden because he couldn't risk A, them eating from the tree of life, and B, they could not be in his presence anymore, and that's where his presence was. Unfortunately, chapter 10 isn't a very long chapter, but we're not going to make it through the whole thing. So we're going to have to do two parts. And in part two, we're going to learn a little bit more about the spiritual battle that I alluded to at the beginning that's being waged behind the scenes because of the interactions that we read after Daniel falls and is knocked out from the voice. So with that, we're going to pray, and then we're going to transition over to our church meeting presentation. We'll bring Kimball back up too. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for revealing mysteries and showing your power and your majesty and giving us just a glimpse of the prophecies and how you spoke with those that you loved in the Old Testament and the New Testament, Lord, because it gives us excitement for the days to come. Lord, when we learn about the kingdom that you're bringing, that we actually get to be where Jesus is. We get to be with the saints that have gone before us. Father, I pray that as we continue to study throughout the week and through the rest of this book and Revelation, that you continue speaking to us and stirring in us and giving us strength to share with others. Thank you, Father, for your Son and for bringing us into this life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.